Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? I hope doing well. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and I thank you so much for your word, for helping me to understand your word and to be able to present it to others, and hopefully that between us we can all learn from each other. And you'll help us to understand your word in a way we need to know it today. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This chapter kind of got me a little mixed up when it came to the end. I couldn't decide how I wanted to approach it. So if it seems a little disjointed at the end, I played around quite a bit with it to try to get it to flow the way I wanted it to. So hopefully it makes sense. And this chapter here, keeping a little bit more with the tone of the last chapter, I'm in Ezekiel 28 today, and we're going to take the first 19 verses. And this one, I named it Tyre's Ruler and the Power Behind Him. And we're going to see a pattern here of a future leader known as the Antichrist and the power behind him. And I find it an interesting parallel that some of the things we see in this particular chapter reflect the attributes of the Antichrist. So I see this as a forerunner, per se, a leader of this of Tyre. And so let's get into the verses. Okay, starting in verse 1 of chapter 28. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. This sounds very similar to somebody else who makes the same claims, that wants to try to be God. And he's not, but he wants to be in the same position as God. And so you see this particular world leader, and you come to find out as we go through this that this particular world leader has the backing of Satan himself. As we go through this, you'll see a definite alignment, and that this would be the forerunner of the Antichrist. Now, I was trying to get to an idea of who this particular ruler was, and the one name that came up was Etrabal. And here you see him referenced as the prince. We also remember that one of the titles of Satan is the prince of the air. So I see some correlations in there. But here in verse 2, let's look at a few attributes here. And Isaiah 14 has quite a bit to say about the Antichrist and a lot about to say about Satan, I should say. And so Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. Now, this is Isaiah describing Satan himself and his fall. We're going to be through the course of this reading through just about the entire most a lot of the chapter of Isaiah. So you're going to see some attributes of how Satan fell in the first place. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Satan talking. And I've come to realize that Satan actually, his original name was Lucifer. And he was originally the number one angel. He was in charge of all the angels. And that a little bit of controversy and a few other churches, and it's a study for another time. But basically, it seemed like he got jealous when God made man. And that. And in some ways, man was going to be the epitome of God's eyes, and that kind of made Satan jealous. Now, that's what some commentaries say, and I can see a little bit of correlation there. That pride is probably the hardest emotion to put at bay when you feel like you've been wronged. And but in this case, I think what Satan's problem was that he was expecting too much out of his position. He was the number two guy, above, below, below God, being the number one guy below God at the time. So it's a little hard to say what made him fall, but most people say it's because God had decided to make man, and that man was going to be made in God's image, and we see that in Genesis. So that's what some theories are is the reason that Lucifer rebelled. He's better known as Satan today, but you're going to see some terminology in here that kind of describes him too. But because of some other references to him being to place himself in the position of God in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Again, that's talking about the Antichrist. I mean, about Satan, and sooner or later the Antichrist. Also, over in Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And that's going to be the Antichrist standing in the holy place defiling it once the temple is built. And that's going to really upset the Jews. And that's when the Jews are going to realize that this is not, they think that this Antichrist is going to be the actual, the real Messiah. And it's not. So this whole chapter kind of talks a lot about the Antichrist. And the and Satan being the power behind him. So that's kind of, I'm trying to show that as we go through this chapter. Jeremiah 49:16 also. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make the nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 31:10. This will be a little future date. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and hast shot up his top among the thick boroughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. That's more of a reference to what's happening to this king of Tyre. As we know, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come up against them, and that's judgment. And so we know that this ain't the actual Antichrist, but that we can see Satan is behind a lot of the evil kingdoms of the world. That's the basic idea behind this chapter. Get back to Ezekiel 28:3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that thou can hide from thee. Now, this is, again, this is a reference to Daniel, and over in Daniel 1:20, Daniel says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. This is a reference to Daniel. And so this is a, what they're saying over in Ezekiel there is that Daniel is, that this person that God is talking about is even smarter than Daniel. So I think it's referencing Satan in this case. Now, Satan is a very intelligent being. He was number two man. And that, he's not somebody to mess around with. You got to be careful when there's one place that even other angels would not go up against Satan himself. We're supposed to leave that to God, actually Jesus, to handle. Okay, Ezekiel 28:4. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. Now, this is again talking about this prince of Tyre, and you're going to see it. I'm going to be continuously showing you different correlations to other references that speak similar, but it could either be talking about the Antichrist or talking about this king. Over in Zechariah 9:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Zechariah is talking about the wisdom and knowledge of Tyre, the city of Tyre. and the leadership thereof, I would assume. Verse 5, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Okay, traffic here, a reference we get for traffic, which is another word for merchandise. Over in Ezekiel 27:12. This is actually, need to read practically the whole chapter of Ezekiel 27. This is what we talked about yesterday, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just as a memory, I'm just going to read verse 12 here. Tarshish was that merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in the furs. So if I remember correctly from yesterday, that we talked a lot about the riches of Tyre and how they were an essential spot for that area from all over the Middle East for the goods to pass through, either coming from other countries or the stuff that was in the local area there and that being shipped out to other countries. So it was quite the trading port. Talking about riches over Psalms 52:7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's a reference to this particular leader. Instead of looking to God for his wisdom, he was looking to himself and to the, that 9 times out of 10, that's somebody's downfall is that they think that they can do it. I think a few years I used to hear that song by that singer, can't think of his name off the top of my head. You probably recognize it, but his famous song was "I Did It My Way," and you might do it your way. You might be fairly successful at it, but you want to do it the best way. You do it through God's way. That's a better word, a better title for that song. You know, Hosea 13:6. According to thy pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they begotten me. Again, another reference to allowing the world to bring us pleasure, thinking that we're doing so well, we don't need God. I would be very careful about doing things like that, because usually once you leave God out of the picture, you may be successful for a while, but it won't last forever. I definitely know that. Ever since I've started trying to follow the Lord better and not relying on myself, I will definitely say that my life has gotten more joyful. Okay, back to Ezekiel 28:6. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and shall defile thy brightness. And a lot of these verses, I see double meanings in them. That's what's kind of interesting about it, is that these claims that God is making against Tyre and its leadership are the same things you hear about what God's ultimately going to do to the Antichrist and Satan. So I see a lot of parallels here. And I see that in a parallel verse for this, for strangers, is Ezekiel 26:7. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots, with horsemen and companies and many people. So here God, again, as we've been following, is going to use Nebuchadnezzar as his tool to punish this city of Tyre. Ezekiel 7:24 also comments about this. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess thy houses, and I will also make the pomp of thy strong to cease, and thy holy places shall be defiled. Also in Ezekiel 21:31, and I will pour out my indignation upon thee, and I will blow thee against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men and skillful to destroy. These are all God's promises to perform judgment on Tyre. Back to Ezekiel 28:8. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Now, if you see the word pit, start thinking like Hades, like hell. Those are the places that come to mind when you think of pit. And if you remember our Revelation study, we talked a lot about this pit and the things that are going to be coming out of the pit. And again, so another reference to areas that seem to indicate not only happening now, which is 587 BC, but also will happen again in the future. Okay, over in Isaiah 14:15 comments about this. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. We'll read a big chunk of that chapter 14 here in a minute, so you get a good flavor of how Isaiah 14 parallels this passage. Back to Ezekiel 28:9. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God, but thou shalt be a man, and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee? Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And we know for absolute, positively for sure, that whenever God says it, it's going to happen. And it may be in God's time, but it will happen. And so if I read through this chapter, this part of Isaiah, we're going to be referencing a lot, just to give a flavor. And this is the actual place in the Bible that kind of describes Satan's fall from grace and whatever happened in heaven when he defiled God's orders, didn't want to follow God anymore. So just like us, the angels have free choice too. And it looks like that Lucifer thought that he was going to be able to accomplish taking over the head spot of God. And I'm not sure why he thought that. That's a rather interesting story. Satan was created by God, so it's hard for me to comprehend why he thought he could win out over God. Here, Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, it describes Lucifer's fall. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. There's that pit again. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Oh, what happened? I somehow jumped. Let's see, where did I leave off? Verse 11. Okay, I'm down here. That was weird. Okay, I left off on 15, I think. Okay. That was kind of weird. Not sure how that happened. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? So that's the basic fall of Satan from grace. So let's go back to Ezekiel 28:11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, okay, well, we just, that section was more about the prince of Tyre. Now we're going to move into a section that's more about Satan himself. I'm going to describe him a little bit. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And the king in this case and the prince, I think the only reason I use that terminology is that the prince was the Antichrist. Whereas the king, or the power behind the prince, typically in any kind of a royal setup, is the king. And so this chapter is more about Satan himself. But it's also still talking about this leader of Tyre. But it's going to sound very, very more about the realm of the heavenlies. Okay, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now you do remember though that one of the comments about Tyre from our study yesterday was that Tyre considered itself to be a most beautiful. I remember some of the comments where people were making that, oh, look at that beautiful city. How could it be destroyed? How could it be wasted? And Ezekiel 27:3 reflects on this and say unto, this is the part from yesterday, actually Friday, I think it was, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Just want to point out that that's the verse that started us off on this idea of Tyrus and the correlation between Tyrus and Lucifer. Okay, back to Ezekiel 28:13. Now, this is going to be describe something that sounds very, very familiar to what we just read in Isaiah. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was the covering, thy sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets, and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now this is a direct reference to Lucifer. And by this passage, it looks like he was originally in charge of the whole planet, working for God. The comments here about being in Eden, the garden of God. So we know that we do find him there in Genesis, and that's in Genesis 3. But in Genesis 3 is when he fell. Actually, he already fell before this, so we don't know exactly when. We get that Isaiah passage to know what happened. But in Genesis 3 is when he tempts Eve to do evil. And so we know he's already fallen by then. Okay, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways for the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. I'm probably thinking now I should have put the Isaiah passage right here, but we already read it. And so, again, this is in Ezekiel is describing Lucifer. And what he used to his original job was, and how he fell because of the iniquity that was found in him. Meaning he wanted to be above God. He wanted to be head guy. And so we got to go all the way back to Genesis to see when this started. And so in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye have God said. Now this is where he's tempting Eve. Ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You remember the story as you go along. And Eden, and the woman originally was trying to convince the Satan that, finally Satan convinces her to eat of the fruit. And that's what causes the fall. So we'll jump ahead to Genesis 3:14. Now, look, God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of their life, of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that's when Satan had done this thing to Eve, and this is God coming back and telling Satan what his destiny is now. So another place we see this is over in, and just to kind of bracket it, If we look at Revelation 19 and 20, is where Satan is ultimately put away, which hasn't happened yet, and that's coming in the future. And the beast was taken, and with him, now in this case, in verse 19, 20, we're talking about the false prophet and the beast, which is the Antichrist, a throne. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Okay, so that's the false prophet and the beast, which is the Antichrist, going into the lake of fire. And in Revelation 20:10, now this is after the millennium kingdom. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's basic. That brackets the bookends of Satan's career. Let's look at a few things in between. Matthew 16:23. You see here, he was tempting even one of the disciples. So don't feel bad if Satan is swaying you and causing you to doubt what the Word of God is telling you. He was able to accomplish that with Peter also, and here's the famous story where Peter was causing an issue with Jesus, and this is Jesus commenting back to Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan! Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but these that be of men." So Jesus recognized that the power behind Peter at that particular moment was Satan, and that he was rebuking Satan for it. So Satan is very, very powerful, not somebody to mess around with. But luckily he cannot, he's not omnipresent, he's not all-knowing. He can't read our minds as far as we know. So all he can really do is a hit, but he has a lot of angels at his and demons at his disposal. So that if you ever come in contact with one, the power of Jesus Christ is your salvation. And all you do, just like here, where Jesus Christ himself told Satan to get behind him, we can, through the power of Jesus Christ, do the same thing. But ours will be worded a little bit differently. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to use his name to do it. Okay, and another area that's of interest in the timeline is over in Luke. And this is, some people say, well, how come God allows this stuff to happen on earth? Why does Satan have so much power? Well, it's because of what happened in the Garden of Eden and because of man's fall. To Satan became control and now controls within reason. God has limits on him, but that he can only go so far, but he does have the power on this planet to give as he pleases. We have evidence of this in Luke, where Jesus himself is being tempted by Satan. Well, we just read it here, Luke 4, 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now this is Satan showing Jesus, who's going to ultimately inherit the entire planet. He's going to take over the entire planet. But here Satan is offering it to Jesus, kind of like to skip the whole die on the cross thing. But there's always a but. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them which for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it." So here it is acknowledged that Satan did have this power to give to Jesus if he would take it. And Jesus never rebukes Satan for this. So obviously he's not lying here, even though he is the king of liars. But Jesus doesn't call him out for that. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So basically Satan is willing to give Jesus all of the world and control of the whole planet, just It's just that he has to bow down and worship Satan. And you gotta like Jesus' response. He did it again. Oh, I didn't add it in, that's why. Okay. My fault that time. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So here God, Jesus uses the same term. But you notice he didn't say, no, you don't have that kind of power. You can't give me this world, these kingdoms. He didn't rebuke him for that. He just rebuked him for that he would not bow down and worship him. So Jesus would have to die on the cross. But that was an accomplishment, because without him dying on the cross, we never would have had the ability to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm sure glad he didn't change his mind. Thank you, Lord, so much. Okay, back to Ezekiel, last few verses. Just to finish up this this review of what looks like a parallel verse. Like, again, we're talking about God talking about here. He's speaking to this king of Tyre and his ultimate demise, but more about the power behind this king. So finishing up here, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Again, this is talking about Satan. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now that verse is talking about the king, not Satan. Satan never dies. So realize that that's why I said this is kind of a parallel section to indicate that this king is getting his power from Satan. And finally, verse 19. All they that knew thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So that's the end of that, what I'm going to deal with today. Let's end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look in your word. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand what this passage is referring to. And that if I missed anything, Lord, that you help me to understand what it is I missed, and I may be able to correct it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Oh, fascinating chapters. Kind of like paralleling what we've already learned. And I like the idea that it's, I've never studied Ezekiel to this depth before, and I'm finding it very, very interesting study, except for the later chapters, which I'm looking forward to too. But there's some really interesting stuff here in the middle that I never really realized. So I will talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.